What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Welcome back to B&E. E. Hogan taking a little time off. We'll see him next week. Zay Collier and, of course, Monty Williams. You love him. You never hate him. You'd like to be just like a Monty Williams.
Oh, good Lord.
Maybe Bucky, that's not going to start it now. I mean, there's shows that have all these introductions to people that come on. I don't know how to gloss all that stuff. But you
that's Rod and Harge.
They do it every day.
That's like 2.5 pages on each one.
Yeah, that's a loving, and that's wonderful.
I know.
I can't imagine I tried to gloss my partner over there every day for 25 years.
Yeah, it works.
Don't catch me on a bad day.
There's that magic.
I'd be glossing him all right.
There is magic.
By the way, for all those that, you know, we started early in the week with the magic trick with the beautiful blonde whose average size that disappeared in that chair. Buck off to you people that don't believe in magic, okay? Buck off to you. Magic is for real. That woman appeared. That magician knows how to do that.
Okay? What in the
That's
hell
not
is
illusion.
He talking
That's
about?
Not okay. illusion.
Was it the hot or not topic?
No, it's for real, Zay.
Salacious gossip.
A tweet came up on Aaron's timeline of this woman at a OKC Thunder game, you know, a halftime performance where they just throw a sheet
over a chair.
Oh, I thought I almost spilled something here.
Dave would have been on your ass.
It's an empty chair. They throw a sheet over it, and a woman appears when they pull it off. And I looked up the chairs. They're like it's like a $5,000 chair. And it's clear that it's just a very flexible woman inside of the chair, and she, like, pops out. But Bucky believes that it's just pure magic.
It's magic, Zay. I'm going to tell you two right now. Don't let Ty fool you. There's no woman that's a part of a chair. First of all, she's wearing a white outfit. The chair is black. So when they take the tarp off of her, magic sheet, because it's magic. The magic sheet, the guy shakes it a little bit. He flips it up, and there's a full-grown woman. And I'll say it once again. See, I can't. I don't want to go to sensitivity training. I can't say that word. You can't say how big is she.
You sound like my mom. She said she wasn't literal.
No, she's a full-grown woman. This is not a Jerry Springer deal where my mom used to watch Springer. This is
no.
Real.
My mom believed that David Copperfield actually made the Statue of Liberty disappear.
And that's a big deal.
I said,
deal
Mom,
there.
That did not happen. That did not happen.
He's a wizard.
But Zay, I'm going to tell you, this lady, this Ty is like out of his mind. You can't melt yourself into a chair. They put a sheet over you, shake it, and then you melt out of the chair in a white outfit.
I'm going to have to see the equipment. I can get on YouTube and see it?
Yes, I'll show you here.
And I'll say this right now. The listeners to this show, that or the Specs text line that actually went to this, believe that I'm correct. 80% of them believe that this dude is magic.
Okay, Bucky, would you believe me if I told you I can put both my legs behind my head?
Hell no.
Okay, well, I have to show
you're
you.
You're not Maria Spagnola. No, you can't do that.
People are pretty flexible, including myself. I think I might be able to get in this.
You
chair.
Know, but
both of your legs?
Yes, I'm telling you.
First of all, that's a terrible sight to envision.
Yeah, it's not a good sight.
I'm not with that.
But it's a good party trick.
I believe there are
it's a great party trick.
YouTube channels that are dedicated to showing you how magic tricks are actually done, and a lot of them have to do with human contortion, more than you might think.
Oh, I can understand that, but there are magic men. There are people that can...
Well, Magic Mike, of course.
Oh, well, there's no doubt about it. Magic Mike 3 will be out this spring. So
oh, wow.
Get ready.
You got to see that one, don't you?
Of course I got to go see that. If I saw 1 and 2, you don't think... With all these Avatar movies and all this, you know,
this is
Top
the
Gun.
This is the trilogy that you really care about. You want to see how the story ends.
Oh, wow.
They say it's the ending, but it never ends.
Yeah, Magic Mike Last Dance.
It never ends.
Yeah, Magic Mike Last Dance.
It never will end. As long as, what's that guy's name that plays Magic?
Tatum
Shanning, I always call him, yeah. As long as that dude is around, it's all good. And he's making great movies like he does, it's on. And speaking of great movies.
He's good in
21 Jump Street.
He's no, what's the one
that
the Coens did about him?
Hail Caesar.
Hail Caesar.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one either.
Thank you, Monty. And speaking of movies, I will, because I don't give a rat's ass about the Academy Awards and who gets what. I will.
I'm increasingly with you. Actually.
I would like to go in Avatar, the first one I saw. I didn't really appreciate it. All that blue, too much blue, first of all.
So what's going to change in the second one for you?
If Sigourney Weaver is actually herself in that. You know Sigourney Weaver is very fine. I don't know if you people realize that who've seen Sigourney Weaver over the years. I don't know how old she is.
She's 78 years old, so she's going to look like Abraham Lincoln.
No. She is a tall drink of water. I'm going to say 6'2".
Yeah.
And very feminine and very good looking, very attractive woman.
I don't think she's 6'2". The only reason I say that is she was in The Year of Living Dangerously with Mel Gibson, and if she's 6'2", then they had to put Mel Gibson on a box.
Well, they always do. Don't they ever
do that a lot.
Up his heels and all that stuff?
Yeah, they do that a lot.
So she's 5'10", Buck. She's 5'10".
So to me, that's 6'2".
To you, that's like 6'3", yeah.
You're looking up either way.
All right. Your tiny ass.
Yeah. All right, Monty, what do I need to see here? I mean, I want to show interest, and I know, you know, every way which loose, I'm probably not going to go see that, but do I go see Avatar 2? I didn't like Avatar 1, really.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not, the Marvel, those kinds of things are just not what captures my interest. And the number one reason is they all last 3 hours. And I just, there's a threshold. And when you can begin to pick out, this is a needless 45 minutes that didn't need to be in there, that's when a movie fails for me.
What about Elvis?
I liked Elvis a lot. Now, a lot of people cannot stand Baz Luhrmann, the director. I really like him. I thought Moulin Rouge was great.
Moulin Rouge, yes.
I really liked his approach to The Great Gatsby. I thought he did a real good job with The Great Gatsby. And I enjoyed this. And I really didn't know the whole Colonel Tom Parker story. So, you know, I mean, Tom Hanks is Tom Hanks, and you keep... You know, you keep reminding yourself, I've got to remember this is Tom Parker, not Tom Hanks.
Yeah, really.
But that being said, the style is great. It's really a lot of fun. All Quiet on the Western Front. I like Tar a lot. I mean, I know a lot of people did not. The only problem with Tar is I thought half the time it was Cate Blanchett. But I thought it was the quarterback for the Jaguars. What's his name?
Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence.
You kept seeing him?
Yeah, they looked a lot alike.
Oh, no.
They looked a lot alike.
See, that would bother me. If that's what's coming up in the film, that would bug me a lot.
They looked a lot alike.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but it was really good.
Yeah, I'm going to see. I
haven't seen Everything Everywhere All at Once, or if that's the one, title. I will see that. Kind of like Pinocchio.
There were like three Pinocchio movies that came out this year. Was there not? Wasn't there an Italian version?
This was the Del Toro, Guillermo Del Toro version, which is animated.
Is Tom Hanks in this one too?
I don't think so.
He was in one of them this year.
I think that's the live action. Okay. This one takes place in fascist Italy and it has Mussolini in it, which I thought
to see that one.
A nice take. What else? Oh, Triangle of Sadness. I really want to see. It's the same filmmaker that did Force Majeure, and I strongly recommend Force Majeure to anyone who hasn't seen it. It is a great movie. Force Majeure. They tried to remake it in English with Elaine Benes, what's her name, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and somebody. Oh, Will Ferrell, and it didn't work. But the original Swedish movie, man, is one of the funniest.
Very nice.
A funny movie.
Monty, so the industry writers probably going on strike?
About to go on strike.
Streaming taking over everything.
Streaming, they don't know how to price it. They're canceling shows that's already in the can.
So we're going to see less shows on HBO and stuff like that, than more shows now?
That's hard to say. Each streaming service is doing their own thing. Like AMC is not a streaming service. It's a network. But they laid off 20% of their staff, and they don't want to pay residuals to writers, actors, and directors, which is of course how you make your bones. And the thing is moving so much in flux. I'll tell you where a lot of writers are going to end up, and that's podcasting, because there's not the big series of rules and ownership rules and everything like there are with networks and streaming services and the Writers Guild. There's just the Wild West now is fictional podcasting. And a lot of networks, the way now that writers are pitching shows is to go out and self-funding a podcast, demonstrating that you can find an audience, and then a network is a lot more likely to pick up your idea and make a show out of it. Demonstrating that you've got a solid product by doing a podcast, which for every dollar spend on a movie,
you
spend a dime on a podcast.
Yeah, thus my doctor, Trey Elling III, who's got away from his paper route, now does podcasting.
Why do we have to do digs on that?
Why?
We're out here talking about movies and stuff. Monty's out here preaching, and somehow
I'm talking
you
about
find
podcasts,
a way to
man.
Bash Trey Elling?
Who's bashing?
That can't stick up for himself anymore?
A job is a job. The dude had a paper route. What's the big deal? I had a paper route.
When you were
six? When I was
12. Yeah. Cold-blooded, man.
This is my doctor. He makes enough money from being my doctor.
I guess so, yeah.
Telling me what to do, what I can smoke and what I can. I mean, he's good at that, too. It's not just that.
I'm sorry, Trey. I love you. I'm not a part of this.
I certainly feel like I've been dragged somewhere and didn't know.
I am not a part of this.
Sorry
Absolutely
about that.
Not.
No, that's all right. But anyway,
it'll
podcasting.
Get back to him. It'll get back to him. It always it always
he's
does.
He's got his finger on the pulse of
All right, guys.
Rather.
The Colts, Arizona, Denver, Carolina, the Texans, which is the best job out of those that are sitting out there right now?
Say that again.
Colts, Arizona, Denver, Carolina, the Texans. What's the best job out there?
Texans.
Denver.
I think you could have the most control with the Texans.
Denver's got the best fan base.
And you have the most leeway. I mean, yeah, Denver, that's a place where when we saw a first-year head coach this year get fired in midseason, you know, expectations are a lot higher there. You're going in with a quarterback that everybody knows sucks.
And everybody, it seems like the team.
Come on. Russell Wilson had a bad season.
Do they hate him? They really hate him on the team.
We can't say he sucks.
Did you watch him play?
I did. But this guy's going to go to the Hall of Fame.
Okay, that
it was a bad year. Just because he just sucks.
Just because he sucked this year doesn't mean he sucked the rest of his career. He wasn't good last year either. Like the year before.
No, but we know of him and Pete. They were button heads.
This is a good year. This is a good year to have that job, you think, Denver?
I think of all the names that you said.
Yeah.
The Texans, though, I get what Ty's saying. You do get a lot of control. You really
or they're
get to
going
start
to give
fresh.
You a lot of control.
Yeah, and you get to start fresh with a franchise quarterback. Hopefully they choose a franchise quarterback. And Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud, I'll take either one. But, yeah.
Maybe the worst Arizona, even with a quarterback, you've got your franchise quarterback. He's
well,
going
that
to
could, that could be the biggest issue in Arizona is do you – trust Kyler Murray, and do you want to deal with him? Because, I mean, he just signed his extension last year. You know you're going to – same deal with Russell
yeah,
Wilson.
Yeah, would you rather come in with Russell Wilson or Kyler Murray? Which one
Kyler
would you
–
I'd way – oh, I'd
oh,
way
wildin'.
Rather come in with
you
Russell.
You wildin', Ty.
Are you serious?
You Kyler like, a diva.
I would way rather come in with Russell Wilson.
He's still
Wilson.
Way better
that's
than
that's
Russell
never,
Wilson. But this way better stuff.
No,
I don't know about that
Kyler
one.
Murray is not getting to the Hall of Fame when his career is done. I don't
believe.
And that's speaking really out of turn very early in his career, but I don't think you'll see
Russell
him.
Wilson did some weird things this year, like the working out on the plane and just a lot seemed fake. I think he will come back down to earth this season.
He's always been that way, though, but people didn't notice
because they were
or
winning.
Care
because
they were
winning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's always been kind of a weird cat, but when you're winning, you can be a weird cat.
It's like that Subway commercial he had earlier in the year with the Danger Witch, where he was, you know, in a leather jacket. It's like, we would have been like, that's a bad commercial, but if he was good, but the fact that he was so terrible.
It made it even worse.
Let me put it like this. Do you want your quarterback going home to the beautiful Sierra, or do you want your quarterback going home hopping on the sticks, playing PlayStation? I want my quarterback going home to Sierra. She going to take care of him. She going to cook for him.
Yeah.
She going to let him live. And
but
she
gotta,
wants him to be great.
He's got to take care of future son, too.
Yeah, she got to take. He got to take care of somebody else's kids.
I ain't got to worry about it. They got a maid and Sierra. She ain't singing no more. He ain't got to worry about none of them problems.
Breastfeeding's over with.
Yeah,
she ain't doing none of that stuff right now.
She ain't doing none of that.
So you thinking that in the their son or future son with Sierra, do you think he's...
Is that a pun? Future son? Get it? Is that a pun?
No, I wasn't meaning to do it, but kind of.
I like that.
Do you think that future is up at the top of the power rankings for their kid? You know, because for a while there, it seemed like Russell Wilson had kind of taken over as the main father figure in the kid's life. You know, with the down year Russell Wilson had, you think the respect's there?
I mean, it should be. I hope he's still.
I hope he's still a good dad.
I hope he's still a good pops.
No, he seems like a good dad.
Yeah, I hope he still
is. I think he had a nervous breakdown. I really do. I think the whole season was a nervous breakdown for him.
I think there's some things mentally that probably affected him pretty much.
I think he's weird, but I don't think – I just think I wouldn't want to look at a team that was 500. I'd rather have Russell Wilson quarterback that team than Kyler Murray. Because Kyler Murray's going to turn it off. I really do
believe
that.
But is Russell Wilson ever going to turn it on?
Yeah.
It's been on before. I'll admit that.
You can't talk about champion. You can't talk about the leadership, though. Kyler Murray's a horrible leader.
But
he'll be pouting on the sideline. He'd be cursing at Cliff Kingsbury, and they'd be fighting and stuff. And sometimes that's good, but he just doesn't have the skins on the wall.
I don't know what I'm seeing with Russell Wilson. I really don't. I think I'm seeing a nervous breakdown. But Kyler Murray, I get that body language. That is
I've seen that body language a lot.
I do agree that Russell Wilson might be a better leader, but nobody respects him. And I've said this throughout the year. He's that guy that's on your select team that's really good. But after the tournament's over,
everybody hates him.
Nobody wants to hang out with him.
You
can be a great leader on the court. And, like, everyone respect you as a player. But if people don't respect you off the field and, like, in the locker room as much.
That is true. The Richard Sherman thing that came out this year about so hard to reach Russell Wilson.
Yeah, but I guarantee you Richard Sherman had his arms around him when he was getting ready to pick up that Super Bowl trophy and playing in that other Super Bowl. He had his arms around him. I mean, he may say little sly things behind his back or to his side. But when that guy's getting you into the end zone and throwing the ball downfield, the old ball head dude. That plays for him, you know what I'm saying?
Tyler Lockett.
Yeah.
He had a good year, too.
Yeah, he did.
I still think you think that's his dad playing.
So. No. The whole Lockett family from K-State, they got a whole Lockett group there.
Did you play against his dad?
May have.
Okay. I wouldn't be surprised.
But I'm going to tell you, that whole leadership thing, it's hard to get your team back once you got that
yeah.
And in that disrespect they show for you. When they start yapping to outside of the locker room, outside of the box, and guys like Richard Sherman that loved you before, because they truly loved that dude. When that guy was winning those games, they loved Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson was beloved by the NFL. And then it got to be that he was the goody-good two-shoes, which there ain't nothing wrong with having people like that. You don't need to have some mean son of a bitch every time on your team. Everybody doesn't have to be mean. Some people can be goody-goody. Some people play the game different. They play it different with management. They play it different with coaches. I mean, players are different with coaches, but when players start getting into you because you're different with the coach, and you ought to see the way he acts with this, and he thinks he's this or that. But by the way, he's winning us championships. I like him. I like him a lot. But then when things aren't going your way, and you start hammering these people, and now it's hard to get that back again. That's hard for you to come back from loving, hating, and then trying to love again. That's hard to do, and especially your old dude like Russell Wilson now, because I mean. His skills have diminished, okay? Ty, I'm with you. His skills have diminished over the last couple of years. The only offense you can put him into is bootlegs and things. He can't drop back and pass. That's not. He can't do that stuff. And him bootlegging, he can't outrun the guys outside anymore. So his skills have diminished along.
You don't think he can throw drop back passes?
No.
I think those days have come and gone. You got to put him on the move. And you better have an offensive coordinator or head coach that knows that.
It's a lot like Dak. He's like an older Dak. At this point, I think if you put Dak Prescott on those Seattle teams with Pete Carroll as the head coach and that defense, I think Dak would have the same career as Russell Wilson.
And you being a Cowboys fan, there are so many Cowboys fans that say, I'll take Russell Wilson right now over Dak.
No way.
You'd be out of your mind.
No way.
You'd be out of your mind to even think that.
I think y'all are out of your mind for wanting to pick him over Kyler Murray at this point.
No, I can't take that attitude. I can't.
Do you think that a coach would come in? That they would be happier with being stuck in this. Say it's an avoid. In either case, it's not the best situation. Would I rather be stuck with Russell Wilson or Kyler Murray? What do you think the majority of coaches?
Well, how
would
many
come
years?
Down
you, just give me because the longevity of Russell Wilson. Forget it. If you gave me like a dead point, it'd be 2 years.
2 years,
and you got to do something or get in.
Yeah, you got 2 years.
You got 2 years
with each one.
Oh, I would take Kyler Murray. I mean,
I love his talent. His talent's there.
Oh, he's
genius.
Oh, I agree.
It's all the mental. And plus, he's so injury prone. He's never been healthy.
Well, I don't think either of those guys could win you a Super Bowl. no matter what defense you put behind him. I mean, Kyler Murray, he still has room to grow. That's the only thing that I give him.
They're
the
young
edge.
As a quarterback.
Russell Wilson's always been durable, though.
Not the last few years, though. He was hurt his last few years in Seattle. He had a thumb injury that never really recuperated a few years ago.
But you never had, like, throughout those first 5 years, what Kyler Murray in? Five years now, maybe six.
Yeah, but he was drafted on a team that had the first overall pick. You know, that franchise was in the dumpster, and he brought them to the playoffs last year, even with a head coach that nobody thought should be a head coach in the NFL from the start. I think I don't like Kyler Murray at all.
Here's what you don't have time for is you don't have time to deal with all those attitudes. I mean, you have to play games week by week by week. Your expectations are your guys going to be doing what they have to do to be prepared. I can't be worried about Kyler Murray every other week. You just can't. As a position coach, as a team, you can't worry. Did this guy do his homework? Is he doing? No, that small sample we have right now is that guy's not ready to do this stuff.
He was talented. Weird on Hard Knocks this year too. Just weird guy, like
he's
outside
just
talking with his.
He's a smug little man.
Why are you like
guy.
This?
He's
bro? Got little, you're a quarterback
because he's 4 feet tall. That's why.
Little man syndrome.
Exactly.
He's a smug guy. Is that what you're saying? He just smug.
Whenever he says. Whenever that fan slapped him after that game, it was like you got he had to lift him up there, slapped him around.
They slapped the crap out of him. That was his best game of the year. And
but
he
who lifted him up? Why
face?
Did you have to? I mean, that was like me lifting up the little guy.
He had a little stool that he hopped up on.
Oh, see, that's just smug little man.
Yeah, he's just a weird guy, and he struggles with. Losing because we know how good his high school career is. He never lost.
Dude, it's
and
over.
He went on and
tell him, right? Those days are gone.
Those days are gone. So he just hasn't been able to deal with losing well. When things go wrong, that's when you see the horrible attitude, just this body language.
So y'all
don't
hear about Trey. Y'all just killing Kyler. I want to do that to little Tyler Kyler.
Little Kyler?
To little Kyler.
The guy that went to A&M then went to OU. F Kyler.
That's how I feel.
Come on, man.
And out of those other jobs, what about the Colts? Good job.
That's Coach Saturday's job. Come on.
No, you need to stop. He's not. Even the guy who owns that team is not going to come back and do a repeat of that.
Who wants that job at this point, though?
Yeah, Jim Irsay. He's kind of nutty.
I know
they need a quarterback.
They brought back Dan Quinn for a second interview.
They got to have a quarterback to go
they
along
don't.
What they do.
I love Sam, but I don't think that's. I think he's a backup at best at this point.
Yeah, they're going to have to find a quarterback there to get that thing. Going. They've tried for the last 2 years.
Yeah, I saw Matt Ryan with the CBS crew this past week for the playoffs. He looked good in the suit. It might be time for him to.
Oh, he's done. He's done.
He looked good in the suit. He might realize that.
Or, hey, he could pull a Flacco and extend his career by 8 or 9 years just being a back. Like, he could be a backup till he's 40.
Yeah.
You know, just come in. You need a spot start every
Specs
2 years.
Specs text line. Kyler has always had room to grow. That's not right. No,
yeah,
that's not nice.
If Matt Ryan could put that pride aside as a former MVP and take being a backup.
Or if he could just take
sure.
it as
Joe Flacco did it, and he's a Super Bowl champion.
Yeah, Joe Flacco, he'd be giving, those guys game.
Same
Jack
draft
Wilson,
class.
Yeah,
but these guys are not. This, you're not talking about Matt Ryan as your starting quarterback. He can go be a backup and make a couple million dollars a year. He's not starting in anybody's offense in the NFL anymore. That's.
I mean, he shouldn't be, but no. He'll get some games next year.
He'll get some clipboard work. Somewhere for $3 million or for the maximum, NFL max for him, for a veteran max, that's what he'll get. But that guy's not starting anywhere in the NFL.
No.
They're trying to win games in the NFL. They're not trying to survive.
What do you think Carolina is going to do with the quarterback position moving forward? Do you think I saw Chris Richard, former Cowboys co-defense coordinator, interviewing for their defense coordinator job. That Matt Corral was hurt all year. Do you think they roll with Sam Darnold again next year?
And then find out what happens in the draft.
Or they draft a quarterback? I don't know where they're picking. I think it's probably in the top 10.
They wait another year to see what kind of top quarterback comes because they'll be bad again.
You think so? They had a
pretty
good Steve Wilkes had them going at the end of the year.
They'll be one of those average teams. They'll be hanging around.
Do you think Steve Wilkes deserves to get the job after doing so well as an interim head coach?
I think he should come to the Texans and see what that's like.
Right now, Carolina has the ninth pick in the draft this year. A lot of mock drafts say Will
Kentucky?
Levis, yeah. Will Levis could get drafted.
I see Levis going to Seattle, sitting behind Geno for a year or two. Same kind of arms
at that
kind
five
of,
spot.
What? Yeah, yeah.
Because I mean, had a good year, bro. Oh,
I know. That's the thing. Yeah. Like yeah, Geno, you could sign Geno to a $18 million a year contract over 3 years. He's have and, Levis and, there waiting.
You're
and
right.
Geno ends up sucking. You just throw
and as you said, the Seattle is. Geno has given his time in Seattle and backed up and sat around, and that's where he wants to end his career. And he's already said that, so he looks like he'll take a deal.
Here we go.
He'll take a deal.
Geno Smith or Kyler Murray.
This will settle.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. If you're taking Kyler Murray over Geno Smith,
that is
then you
got to
take Kyler Murray over Russell Wilson.
That is tough. That's a tougher tie. You made me think about that a little bit. Geno Smith he's got the arm strength.
He's got to be comeback player of the year. I don't think the NFL has him. They might, but I don't know if you can win it for coming back from sucking.
He's the Pro Bowl quarterback.
Is he really?
Yes.
Like a substitute?
He was one of. I think he was either one or two in passing completion percentage.
Yeah. Yeah. His passer rating was.
But and that wasn't just throwing dink and dunk.
No, he's
stuff.
Going there to play tag and flag football and stuff.
Who said they would take Kyler Murray over Geno Smith?
No, he just threw that out there.
I was just saying because you know, like a lot of people would probably take Geno Smith over Russell Wilson at this point. I think they won that trade. Russell Wilson definitely played worse than Geno Smith this year by a large margin. So if you take Kyler Murray over Geno Smith.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You know, by the transit of property, you like him more than Russell Wilson.
Let's give some love to Pete Carroll. He could coach a little bit.
Yeah, but, I mean, this was the first year. So, and Russell Wilson always complained about not being able to, like, let loose, let Russ cook. That was the narrative for so many years. And this year, they let Geno Smith cook, and the offense worked. So that makes you think maybe the last few years, Russ couldn't cook. He wasn't able to, you know, throw it 40 times a game.
No, he's not.
So I give Pete Carroll credit for hiding that. For a few years, and then getting a first or multiple picks, and you got Drew Locke and Noah Font out of it, who didn't do much this year.
The league is like, what have you done for me lately? But you go ahead and win a Super Bowl, and then you go to another within 10, 15 years, you got some longevity at a place. They're not just getting rid of you. It'll take them a while to figure you out. You know what I'm saying? And for Kyler Murray, as much as I don't like his attitude, that guy has never really had a coach to really coach him. I mean, that's except true. For when he was at Oklahoma.
Lincoln Riley,
That's it. He's never had an NFL coach that can handle him and say either no, like you have to say no to people, or this is what you really have to do. I mean, Cliff Kingsbury wasn't saying anything. The kid was more powerful than the coach.
Yeah, he's never had to back at him. Yeah. Cliff Kingsbury would try. He'd be like, what the F was that? And Kyle would be like, excuse me? Excuse me? Come say that to my face,
but
coach.
But he's never had a, you know what I'm saying? He's never had that kind of coach. That would can lead him like that. But I don't even know what they're going to do in Arizona. Who is that going to be? They're going to be Dan Quinn, 28-3. Never forget that. Let's not ever forget that, okay? Atlanta Falcons
head coach. Well, if you're Dan Quinn, what job are you most interested in? He's interviewed for like three of them.
I like the Colts job for a guy like him. Make that defense a little bit better. You know, offensively, you got to find a quarterback. You got a runner that if you can keep him healthy – you got a semi-offensive line, and that offensive line is overplayed. Like, they're that great with the Colts. They're not.
Well, that defense and that offensive line were probably top five as a unit 2 years ago.
Yeah.
This year, everyone expected the Colts to be really good. Not really good this year, but be at least competing for a playoff spot, and that it never came together. A lot of injuries on the O-line. I know Quentin Nelson would miss some time.
I just don't know if their owner is stable enough. Now, I'm not.
He's not. Ursa's nuts.
You know, he's nuts.
I think he is. I think he's kind of nuts.
Oh,
I mean,
he's nuts.
You got to have some stability there. I mean, for a guy like Dan Quinn, because where do you go next? That's one of those last stops on the bus stops for him. Head coach at Atlanta, doing what he did with the Dallas Cowboys, now getting an opportunity to be a head coach. If you don't succeed at that in 3 years or so, nobody's going to then say, let's hire Dan Quinn here. That thing will be over with for him. He's either be back to being a defensive coordinator, or he'd have enough money in his pocket that he can say later football, you know?
Yeah, how confident are we if he came back to the Cowboys that they'd be the same defense?
I think they'll be the same defense. I think they wouldn't get worse. I don't believe the Dallas Cowboys, The personnel, I don't think, would get worse.
I think it'll get better. I think they're going to target a lot of defensive guys in the draft.
They lost a lot in the secondary.
See, I don't think they would get worse. What's one thing I believe about him as a defensive coordinator? He's not going to make them worse. They're going to be better than they were even this year with him.
Yeah, if Micah Parsons is out there, is out there with him, he's going to be better, so the defense is going to be better.
Van Der Esch will get more help inside.
We got to re-sign him.
They got to re-sign Donovan Wilson, too?
Yeah, but for all the big hits and stuff that Donovan Wilson makes, I don't think he's the right safety for this defense. I think they need a more
a taller, bigger guy?
Cam Chancellor build, like a rangy.
Oh, man.
A rangy Cam guy. Chancellor. I'm not saying you're going to get a 6'5 safety out there, but you need someone that's Donovan Wilson is too concentrated on run support, in my opinion.
Ty, you said earlier.
Make a play on the ball.
I know we've gone past the time. We got to take a quick break, but I do agree with you earlier. If you can get Jalen Ramsey as the other side.
Go get him.
With Diggs, I would say that's a splash move for me for the Dallas Cowboys. That's making a move. That's not Jerry just, okay, here, maybe this will work out. That's a splash move in the offseason, like the Eagles did with Brown. That's a splash move if you get him.
That's the new trend. It's the NFL is becoming more like the NBA every year, where you need to, it's not – Jerry, we've talked about it on end and end for about Jerry loving his guys and wanting to have the credit of being a homegrown franchise to win a Super Bowl, but it's clear that the NFL is going the other direction.
Yes.
And it's worth it. The Rams are a great example to just go all in for that 1 year and it works out more often than not.
Yeah, I would take that chance. I think I would take that chance. Back and we'll wrap it up here. No, we won't. We still have another break after this. B&E, it's Thursday morning. Buck ons and buck offs. Buck on to Monty.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Welcome back to B&E. Monty Williams, Zay Collier joining me this morning, and Monty and I reminiscing, that's right, old man radio, about our days working in the steel mills.
We are brothers in the Steelworkers Union.
I am a union member. Yes, I am. And I spent probably 6 months in the steel mills, and I quit and said, I'm not doing this you-know-what for a living. This is not, I'm going into coaching, I'm going into some, I'm going into gardening, but this is not what I'm doing. My friends made so much money. When Bethlehem Steel was going on, I remember before I went my junior year in college, my job at the steel mills, all I had to do was watch a button in the blast furnace. And, they were going in to clean the furnace in there where they melt all the steel and stuff. My job, before I'd go off to college, when I made unbelievable money, and Monty, it was about $17 an hour. I sat on a metal chair, and there was a button. That if that button got turned on, those guys in cleaning in that blast furnace were dead.
Oh.
Were dead. I mean, if that thing cut on, if just
so
a
So Bucky
poof,
had to sit there and not push a button that probably was labeled, do not push.
I could not. Nobody could come near the button. It was in this little encaged little deal. And the deal was, you don't let anybody come in and push that button. The guy who gave me that job was the only guy that could come in there and do something with that button. Anybody else, I don't care if it was manager, foreman or whatever, he said, you do not let anybody come in. And if they come in there, see that phone right there, you call me. They can't do it. He said, I'm the only guy who can push that button. I said, you mean if a white hat came over here and started telling me I need to hit this button? He said, you tell them you need to talk to me first. Do not let them.
A white hat.
That was 17. Yeah. Hey, that was 17 an hour, Monty.
Yeah,
you were 18?
Huh?
18 years old?
I was 18 years old.
Wow. Every summer we'd go up and work in Burns Harbor, Indiana, live in Michigan City, right on the big, get a beach house and go in and do shift work. And then we'd take the train in and see the Cubs in the afternoon, the White Sox at night. Man, it was fun.
Man, my friends were making so much, because their fathers worked in the steel mill. They worked in the steel mill.
Yeah.
And I moved up to beam yard buck. I was beam yard buck. So I beamed up steel and put it from place to place. And dude, you bring that check home. See, I wasn't married. That was my money.
Yeah,
that was my cash. That didn't go home to nobody. That didn't go to Rena or Ed Godbold. That came. That was my money because I went back to school. But dude, let me tell you something. My friends that ended up having families, they would get their check and they could take that check to the strip club that was at somebody's house, and the strippers were somebody's neighbors or something like that. That was somebody's auntie that was stripping that morning. And dude, they could take that check, get a cash right there at 11 o'clock in the morning, stay there, buy drinks, shot and beers for everybody all morning long, and then take the remainder of that money home. And boy, their wives used to, I mean, there would be people with guns waiting for those guys. Where's that check? I got it cashed. I said, we see you got it cashed,
yeah.
But that's not what you make. Well, I bought the guys a few rounds.
Investments.
What a place.
Yeah, what a time. Guys were working in the steel mill and turning around and playing in the NBA finals during that.
Refereeing games.
Yeah, refereeing games. And
smoking
stuff.
Cigarettes.
Smoking cigarettes, getting the black lung.
Camels. That was good money there, Monty, but it didn't take me long. I only needed...
Well, you would have been out of a job by about 1979, you know?
I only needed one deal where I was the guy in charge of when the steel came off the melting deal and they were red and I had those steel tip boots on and I had a long stick with a Crayola crayon, like a chalk, mm-hmm. and I had to mark the steel. It only took me about 2 days of doing that where you couldn't get within 15 feet of that thing or your hand was like, is getting ready to catch on fire. I did that for 2 days and I said, done. Bye. Because if you ever tripped in there, if you ever tripped and fell on that,
everything
would just go up, poof, arm, your whole neck.
That would be magic. Then it would look like actual magic. You'd see a person disappear.
You don't melt into that stuff. Your arm just goes poof.
They used to take those train loads of those big ingots and dump them out in a big yard. It was a quarter of a mile away from where I worked, and you could just feel the heat radiate off of it like it was a blower. Quarter of a mile away.
Dude, when I got that lifeguard job, I thought that I was in heaven when I became a lifeguard after working in steel mills. I said, this is nothing. I just got to take care of all these little Puerto Rican kids running around here and make sure they don't drown.
Hey,
it's fine.
Can I clear something up before
buddy.
And I'm going to mention this tomorrow, but this thing at the state capitol on February 7th, Habitat, Texas, Habitat mm-hmm. for Humanity. If you bring a hammer and show up in the morning, even if you don't bring a hammer, you can volunteer. But I need to clarify something I said before. The way to volunteer for this Capitol build, where they're going to build someone's house, a Texas family is going to end up in this house, and they're going to work on it in the front yard of the Capitol on February 7th at 8:30 in the morning, is to go to HabitatTexas.org, and then click on the Capitol Build button. That's all you need to know. It's a great way to feel good about your morning.
So the home will be built right there in front of the Capitol.
They're going to put the walls up right there, and then they'll move it to where the family moves in. But everybody needs a place to live.
There's no doubt about that.
Everybody needs a place to live. February 7th, go to HabitatTexas.org and click on the Capitol Build button. Thanks,
all right, Monty, thank you so much, man. We got to take a quick break, come back, and then wrap this thing up. And I do appreciate you guys. We'll be right back.
Ball don't lie.
And I thought with 3 minutes left, we were about to have Big Dak energy.
First play, Dak almost throws an interception to Dre Greenlaw, and he ends up dropping it. It was going to be a pick six if he catches it. I don't know what the hell Dak was looking at. The next play, Dak misses Gallup. I do wonder if Cowboys fans are starting to think that Dak has hit his ceiling with this specific group. Because mm-hmm. you've been to the division round twice, going out the same way.
Weekdays 3-7 on the Horn.
Folks, Jaguar Land Rover of Austin, when is the best time to head over there? How about today? It's going to be beautiful. No hassle, not time-consuming. The unique car buying experience that you deserve and you desire. Don Snell Sr. since 1973 believes this. It is a privilege to be the provider of all of your automotive needs. When you're there, say hello to Poppy and Cheyenne when you enter the door. Brad, of course, in pre-owned. And there's 6 service advisors that await you to help you with your decision. And, of course, there's the great general manager, Damon Spears. They are the 9-time Pinnacle Award winner for overall performance in the automotive industry. They're top 20 in the nation. And, folks, while you're there, do, at no obligations, test drive the Discovery Sports, the Range Rover, the F-Pace Jaguar, and the 2023 Defender. It is there awaiting you. If you're interested in employment there, give them a call today at 512-236-0000. There are opportunities at every level. Come and experience the team at Jaguar Land Rover of Austin. Jaguar, no ordinary cat, no ordinary car. And, of course, Land Rover, above and beyond, 1515 5th Street, Austin, Texas.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Welcome back to B&E as we wrap this thing up on a Buck Off and Buck On Thursday. And got to buck on that basketball team one more time before we go, Zay. Coach Terry and his entire staff and those players for what they're doing in a really, really tough situation in a hard conference. But night in, night out, I know we always want more from them. Are we going to get more from them? Is Coach Terry going to be the basketball coach at the end? We'll just have to see. You just have to wait and see. But for right now, I think his staff is doing a fantastic job, and because he has some older kids there, I think guys they're doing magnificent. This is a tough time. I would not like to be. I would just say, I would rather be a coach on a staff that's smooth and things are going, and we've got our regular ups and downs that you get. But for this basketball season, this is incredible, the job that they've done.
Yeah, he's got grown-ass men on the team, which makes this whole situation with Chris Beard an easier transition.
It seems to be smooth now. I mean, I think they really have kind of like, you know, gotten the ship righted pretty quickly to me. They're playing at a high level, and I don't see any – in body language, I don't see any lack of camaraderie or support or anything like that. Nobody's pitching around.
And they don't mope around wanting you to feel bad for them. It's a team that's, like you said, it's got veteran, mature guys. Don't feel sorry for us. If we're not playing good defense, we're going to play good defense. Yeah, you don't have to worry about that.
If anything, it's brought them together.
Yeah.
It's gotten them closer as a team, and now they know it's them against anybody, and they still want to go out and do what they were set to do at the beginning of the season. That's make a deep run in March and get to the Final Four.
How is this going to translate to this football team as you're losing guys like Bijan Robinson, Roshan Johnson? Where would that leadership now come? I know where I'd like to put it, but I don't know if I can put it on them bombs yet.
Jalen Ford.
Yeah, defensively.
There you go. I agree.
Defensively, it's right there. Jaren Thompson, Jalen Ford, that should be easy. The defense should be really good next year.
Even a little bit better.
Yeah, even though they lost Demarion Overshown offensively. Mm-hmm. Quinn Ewers has to step up.
Yeah, that leadership will, you know, everybody talks about leadership from your quarterback and the young guys that play offensive line. I mean, there's no doubt about Banks and what he'll be doing. But he'll be doing that just by – I mean, he'll display that in his play. And I'm pretty sure he's a great workout guy. I'm sure he's pretty serious about what he does. But the rest of those guys on the offensive line, it will be time for that group as a young group to mature in a hurry. And you know what? They'll have skins on the walls. They may not be playing national championship games, but they'll be starters. They'll be guys who are backup to starters that'll play a lot of football. And that's where these guys, I think, can start really making some hay too.
When's the last time the offensive line's all been back? I don't remember that happening.
Hell,
for
I don't
a long
remember
time.
10 out of 11 guys ever coming back on it. I've never been around a team that had 10 out of 11 coming back at anything.
Oh, so big Christian Jones came back for 6 year. That's huge.
Well, I would agree with that. I agree for him and for the football team. He can just only help guys mature a little bit better. But if he wants to play in the NFL, that's a smart move on his part. And he's probably got to love to be in a championship. They'd all love to be in a championship game, and maybe this is the year, but some way, somehow, your quarterback will have to be able to be part of the leadership, part of all that, too. And hopefully he's maturing every day. Every day at winter workouts, he's probably getting a little bit better.
They say he's lost 10 pounds already.
Who, Quinn?
Yes.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah.
He got a little doughy of him in that midsection.
I don't know that's going to translate to foot speed, though.
I hope so.
Like it.
I hope more people talk to him. You know, I mean, I found that to be a really haunting image of the entire football season, is seeing him on the bench after something wrong happened and no one would talk to him. I mean, he was by himself the whole time after time.
You know who I saw do that at one time? I saw Vince Young on the sideline at one time by himself, and I was wondering in a game where who's talking to him. And I don't mean on the phone. I mean coming over him. And speaking with him.
I've kept yelling at the TV, somebody talk to this guy.
Put your arm around him, huh?
He also needs to trim his beard.
My wife said my wife said he looked like a hobbit in mourning. That he'd go over and just sit by himself.
I am definitely excited for this team and their maturity level for basketball. And there it is, the one and only Craig Way.
The reason why I stepped in here, first of all, Quinn's going to be fine on that. He's one of the most popular guys on the team.
Excellent. That's good to know.
He'll be okay on that. No, the reason why I stepped in here was I had to do it with you two guys in here. This doesn't include Zay.
Thank you.
The three of us have taken the total age over 200 years.
Oh, come on, man.
By the three of us. So I had to do that. It's just like this. I have a son-in-law who has a family tree that branches out about 30 different directions.
Oh, my
goodness.
He has
five sets of grandparents and all this stuff and great-grandparents. So when my first grandchild arrived, I talked to my daughter, Haley, and my son-in-law, Tyler, and I said, listen, Tyler, I said, you have a great-grandmother over in Copper's Cove, right? Because, I said, you got to get this five-generation picture. Get my grandson over there for his great-great-grandmother.
Wow.
So they got a five-generation picture. So that's us.
Yeah,
you
know? That is.
That's we're covering a
between
lot.
Between the
of...
three of us, I think we've topped the bicentennial mark in years here.
Yeah, and
so
Chris,
I just wanted to say
and
that.
And you'll know that better than anybody. There are sometimes you have to go to old man radio. You have your buddy. You have your guys that you've done radio with.
Oh, yeah.
And can't wait to get them on and have conversations with them.
You ever listen to a basketball broadcast with me and Eddie Orr?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Yeah. You know,
boy.
He was great. He's over in Knoxville. He's going to see Rick Barnes. I think today he's going to go over to their practice. He's a scout for the Brooklyn Nets. Tennessee beat Georgia last night. Then I'll.
By the way, see nice Rick win for Vic. Yes, last night.
Oh, yeah, and he's coming on this morning, so there'll
okay.
be some fire and
great.
Brimstone work in there.
I bet you're excited about Saturday, though. That's going to be a cool one.
Yeah, it is. It's a great environment there. I remember several years ago, and I know Zay will remember this, Texas went over there when they had Kevin Durant, and they had Chris Lofton, and it was an incredible game, and Texas got up 18 in the second half, and Lofton brought him back, and they won that contest. But it'll be a lot of fun. College game day is going to be there. It's a sellout. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, well.
And Rodney will talk about the time. We got Longhorn Weekly out at Pluckers tonight. So he'll be out there. And Dylan Mitchell, I know you love D. Mitch, the freshman, he'll be out there with us tonight. So we got that going on.
The only thing I didn't get to, Craig, was I didn't get to tell, and we'll do it tomorrow because we have Monty again tomorrow. I had to tell him about my Greensboro days of when I went back. My grandmother was buried in Greensboro.
Yeah.
And, of course, I was sent from the hotel to go to my grandmother's funeral. I left my kids' cards to go into the casket. In the hotel room,
nice.
And I took off out of the church, and they had the casket open for the boot. You know, they were getting ready to close her up. I said, "You can't close this thing. You can't do that.
Don't close the lid.
Don't close the lid. Keep the lid up." I got in a car, drove back to the hotel, got back there, and as they were getting ready to shut it down, I threw the cards in on my grandmother's face. I threw the cards into the box. I didn't lay them on her chest. I flung them into the box. I said, go ahead, close it up.
So
close
you're
up
saying
shop.
You were able to fit a throw into a tight window?
Oh, that was a tight window.
That was good.
I can do Frisbee golf.
That window's going to close.
Greensboro is one of the first round sites for NCAA tournament. You know where I'm hoping the Longhorns gets. I'd be all right with that.
All right. Well, two North Carolina
Well, we'll
guys,
see so. You shortly. And, guys, once again, thank you so very much for joining me this morning. Monty, always a pleasure. We'll see you tomorrow morning.
Very good.
And, Zay, we'll be back tomorrow morning a little bit. We'll talk some more football, some Longhorn basketball, of course. And, Ty, thank you. Appreciate it. What is this? Is this like old Star, old-ass Star Wars on the way out?
Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park on the way out. Appreciate y'all. We'll see you tomorrow morning.